It's great to give thanks to the Lord. And boy, I pray that our souls do long after the Lord as the deer pants for the water brook. We praise the Lord for those songs this morning. And we're glad you are here. We're continuing this morning of our Great Words of the Bible series. And as typical, I found another way to get a message about the word grace. And I think the reason that I love the word grace is because grace is the reason that I'll be in heaven. Grace is the reason I'm kept by God because of His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That everything that I have has come through Christ by grace. And I recognize that it's that not of myself, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That grace is God's unmerited favor upon mankind. That grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And it will be grace that you will sing of in heaven. Grace through Christ. It is the reason you will be in heaven, as I mentioned already, is by grace. God has given us grace. So last week I gave you examples of God's grace throughout the Old Testament. And this week I want to talk about God's grace in the New Testament. And I will try to make this understandable and clear in every way. As I mentioned to you before, it was several years into being a pastor that I began to really grasp what it means to not only be saved by grace, but to live by grace. In a Baptist church, Baptist people will fight you over salvation by grace, and then we're guilty of trying to live by ourselves. And we're guilty of trying to live by our own power and by our own abilities. And what we have to understand is not only are we saved by grace, but we live by grace. And we are lived by the power of God's grace in our lives. And so this morning I want to again show us some amazing portions of Scripture that help us fully understand what God has given to us through Christ. It's so difficult for the human mind to comprehend that something so great can be given to us in spite of ourselves. Because everything in this life you either earn, work for, or deserve, right? If you get a promotion at work, it's probably because you've done a good job. If you're in the military and you increase in rank, you have done something to deserve that. And so our society is built around things given based upon merit, right? Even with our children, we put that into their minds. We say, hey, can I go play with my friends? Your child may say, and then your response is, after you clean your room. That's the number one thing, it seems like. Clean your room, or when you get your chores done. So even from a young age, it's put into our minds, if we do this, we receive this, right? And so even with modern day technology, not so much here in our town, but if you have a chain restaurant and if you keep coming to that restaurant and scanning your app, you get rewards for attending, right? And so our minds just continue to be built around this idea of if I do this, then I get this. And a lot of the reason is because throughout the Old Testament, there was a system that is called the system of law. And that was a rewards-based system. If you do this, I will bless you. If you do not this, don't do this, I will not bless you. But in the New Testament, we see the principle of grace in which we live that has come through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And God has given to us grace in spite of ourselves. As a matter of fact, the Bible helps us understand that we understand or apply more of grace when we come to the end of ourselves and trust in what God is doing. It is not, one author says this, grace does not get its full effect until man comes to the end of himself. We've come to not depend upon our own abilities, but upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man stoops to the dust and acknowledges his need for grace is when it is most clearly realized. Oftentimes the reason that I don't live by the power of God's grace is because I am fueled by the power of self sometimes, in my own ability, in my own understanding. But God wants me to live by the power of His grace. Just a few statements before we get going in some passages this morning. Grace, as I have mentioned, is an action of God that arises entirely from the gracious character of God. So that means that the fundamental understanding of salvation is that it's something that comes entirely from God to man. That God has completed salvation, because salvation is by grace, and if it wasn't by grace 100%, then it cannot be grace. So not only does it come from God, it comes from God in spite of me. And that's the hardest thing to recognize. That grace comes in spite of me, but because of Christ. Grace is not given because of anything that I have done to deserve it, but because of what Christ has done to give it. That's what we have to understand. Grace was accomplished by Christ upon the cross. And so it's not given in because of me, it's given in spite of me, but because of Jesus Christ. If you really study salvation, and you study the whole story of salvation, you will find that God has accomplished it all. Not 99.8, not 99.9, but 100% by grace through the work of Jesus Christ, which is why we believe in eternal security. Because in order for me to be rejected, as I have said, it would need to be Christ to be rejected, because I am accepted because of Him. God has granted me salvation through grace. Romans 3 is where we'll start this morning. We will spend many times this morning in the book of Romans. Long after my phrases and my stories and my illustrations are gone, the Word of God stands. The Word of God is truth, and the Word of God is what is sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. We understand the Word of God is where we must have understanding. So we look at God's Word and the descriptions that God has for us. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 24. I know I've read this verse before. They say it's okay to repeat yourself as long as you're aware that you are. I'm aware, okay? Mark that down. I know we have read this verse before, but it's so important in understanding this concept and understanding of grace. If we can understand God's grace and live in His grace and live by the power of His grace, it will do away with the guilt and the worry and the doubts and the shame, because we begin to recognize that these things and the blessings of God have come to us by His grace through Jesus Christ. The statement that I made over and over a couple weeks ago was this, that in Scripture, God has one hero, and the hero is not me, it is Jesus Christ. And so we recognize in verse number 24, the Bible says this. Coincidentally, this is right after verse 23, a very familiar verse of Scripture that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a statement that God is declaring, that all have sinned, that's everybody, including the pastor and anyone you can think of, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From what I understand, that this idea of short would mean falling short of a desired goal. If I were to go try to jump across the Arkansas River, I would fall short of that goal and plunge into the water. If I were to go hunting with a bow and arrow this next fall, which I'm not anticipating, but if I were to go hunting with a bow and arrow and I saw an animal a long ways away and I took that shot at 1,000 yards, Brad, That would not work well, right? It would just fall short. That's the idea of falling short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot reach that on our own. But then he says this, I love this verse. This is why I read it so much. Being justified. Justified is a declaration of not guilty from the judge of the universe. Being justified freely. I love the word freely. It means without a cause. There's no cause that God has done this in my own abilities. I am justified freely. How? And he says in verse 24, by grace. I am justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word redemption, one we'll look at, has the idea of something that was purchased or redeemed. And so we recognize that we are justified freely by his grace. Grace has acquired our justification. Our declaration of innocence has been accomplished by grace through, as he says, that is in Christ Jesus. Grace flows through Jesus Christ. Now go to Romans 4 in verse number 16. Romans 4 in verse number 16, where the Bible says this. What is the principle of grace? How is grace activated? How is it that I live? What is it that I need to understand about grace? And that's what he says in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 16. He says this, therefore, it is of faith. What's a faith? Salvation. Also daily living. Our daily living is done by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Let's say that one more time, all right? The just shall live by faith. Faith is the operating principle of grace because faith and grace operate together because faith is dependent upon something, right? When I have faith in something, I'm depending upon something. And so he says in Romans 4, verse number 16, he says, therefore it is of faith. Why? Why did God make salvation by faith? Why is my daily living for God accomplished by faith and trust in his power? He tells us exactly why. That it might be by grace. Salvation is by faith, so it can come through grace. Daily living is done by faith, that it can be accomplished by grace. God's empowerment, God's ability, God's things in our lives. And so our responsibility is faith in what God has done. That's what he wants. Faith in the finished work. Can you imagine this for just a moment? And this is not in my notes, okay? All that God has done, all that he has accomplished from the very beginning in Genesis 3:15, where he promised the Messiah, through the sacrificial systems, through the types of Christ, all through the Old Testament, to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, to the fulfillment of prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, ultimately his death upon the cross. Upon the cross, he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He dies upon the cross, goes into the grave for 3 days, and is risen from the dead, and we walk around saying, no thanks, God, I think I'll do it my own way. That's what we do. I think I'm going to depend upon myself, God. I don't think Christ is quite enough for me. I'm not sure he has the power to do what needs to be done in my life. I think I deserve some of this credit. No, no, no. He says, this is what I require of you. I want your faith in what I have done and what I am doing. That is not always easy, is it? Because our whole lives we've been taught to do things on our own. to accomplish things in our own ability. And if we do this, we get this. But God is saying, I have made salvation and daily living to be accomplished by faith, because as you have faith in me, it is done and accomplished by grace. And not only that, but he says this. I love what he says. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, he says, the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise is made sure because it is given and accomplished by the grace of God. Now, go to Romans chapter number 5. It's on the same page for me. Romans chapter number 5. And Monty, I'm going to back you up just a little bit. Verse number 1 and 2, please. And then we'll go to verse 17. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says this. Again, this is it's all that really matters is what the Bible says. I mean, my opinion doesn't hold any weight. It's what the Bible says. That's what we have to understand. And so he says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, by whom? Who's the whom? It's Jesus. By whom we have access. Access. You have access to God by grace through Christ. I don't mean to hurt feelings this morning, but there's no access to God through the Pope. Access to God comes through Christ. It's Christ. He's the one that has given access to God. He is the only one, as the Bible says, there's one name. So he says, by whom also we have access by faith. Second time it's used in two verses, he says here. He says, we are justified by faith, and we have access by faith into, I love this, into this grace. And then he uses this, wherein we stand. Grace is a position. It's a position that's given by God through the work of Jesus Christ, wherein he has understood a way of salvation in which you are standing in a position of grace because of Jesus Christ. Don't listen to the false teachings of the world that would teach that would say that we have standing based upon our merit. We have standing based upon the merit of Jesus Christ. And my faith in what he has done. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And as we're standing there, we rejoice, he says, in the hope of the glory of God. That's where I'm at. I have a standing of grace because of Jesus Christ. And again, as I've said, there's one hero and it's not me, it's Jesus. When we sing songs of Christ, they should lift our souls because of what Christ has done. We also recognize that we have eternal security. We recognize we have peace with God. We recognize that because of Christ, our sins have been removed. We recognize because of Christ, we will be in heaven for all eternity if we placed our faith and trust in him. It's all because of Jesus. He has done it all. Now go to Romans 5:17. That Monty just had on the board a moment ago. And I would love to read all of Romans 5, but we'll go to verse 17. And he says this, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one. Now, in my youth Sunday school class, I make them talk a lot. Kate and Colin and Carter and others are familiar with how many questions we have to answer, and I think they get tired of my open-ended questions, but they're thinking, well, if you already know the answer to the question, why are you asking us, right? You already know what you're going to ask, but the question here is, he says, for if by one man's offense death reigned. Whose offense was that? It's Adam, right? Adam who disobeyed God in the garden. That's his offense. He's the one that disobeyed God. And so what is taking place here in Romans chapter number 5 is this establishment. I'm going to try to make this as understandable and do it as quick as I possibly can. If Adam's disobedience affected everybody, which it did, death came by Adam. That's where sin came from, and Adam's disobedience affected the entire human race. So what is being the argument that's being discussed in Romans chapter number 5 is this: if Adam's disobedience has affected the condemnation of all mankind, then the obedience of another can also by faith affect all those that come to Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying, and that's what verse number 17 is this: for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, then he says this, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So those that have come by faith to Christ are recipients of his life. Where they received death from Adam, they received life from Christ. And he's the only one that could give it. And that's what he's saying in verse number 17. Just as Adam affected you, so also Christ has wrought his work by faith. And then he says this, verse 20, he says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. The law was not given to forgive sin. The law was given to show sin, right? I've given you this example before. If you, our sheriff is here this morning, if you come coming through town and you're going 35 and a 25 and you get pulled over and you receive a ticket, all right? Are you going to, the speed limit sign is not meant to provide forgiveness of sin. It's there to show you what the law is, to show you what is right and what is wrong. And I would imagine that if you went to court and you took down the speed limit sign, would you have another charge? But if you took down the speed limit sign and took that to court and said, I brought this to pay my fine, and the judge would say, that sign is only showing you how you disobeyed. It wasn't designed to pay your fine. It was designed to show you what you were going to have to pay for disobeying it. So that's what the law was to do. And so he says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 11 now. Romans 11 in verse number 6. Grace. Grace. The grace of God through Jesus Christ. He says this. And if by grace, he says, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, Romans 11 says. So no wonder when the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Corinth, he writes this in chapter 1 of verse number 3. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Galatians 2:21 says this, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ be dead in vain. No wonder Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Or Titus 3:7, where he says that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's all by the grace of God through the work of Jesus Christ. Maybe this will help us understand it. When a person works an 8-hour day and receives fair day's pay for his time, that's called a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's called a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage and can win no prize and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is called grace. I've fallen short of the glory of God. And God, recognizing my own inability, has shown me grace through Jesus Christ. Another way maybe we could understand is one time there was a large sum of money that was given to Roland Hill. He was to dispense it to a poor pastor. Not me, okay? Thinking that the amount was too much to send all at once, Hill forwarded just a portion along with a note that said, more to follow. In a few days, the man received another envelope containing the same amount of money with the same message, more to follow. At regular intervals, there came third and fourth, and in fact, they continued along with those cheering words for all his life, more to follow. That's God's grace. More to follow through Christ, because it's unmerited, through his work. C.H. Spurgeon writes this. He used the story to illustrate the good things we receive from God. He writes this. He says, when God forgives our sins, because of grace, there's more forgiveness to follow. I wonder if you've ever this morning thought, I've done too much. He can't forgive me. I've done too much. I know I've disobeyed for the last time. He can't forgive me anymore. Well, God's work through Christ, when God forgives our sins, there's more forgiveness to follow, because forgiveness is by grace. As a matter of fact, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe you'll take issue with this, but I find that God delights in forgiving his people, because he made a provision for that through Christ. He justifies us in the righteousness of Christ, but there's more to follow. He adopts us into his own family, but there's more to follow. He prepares for us heaven, but there's more to follow. He gives us grace, but there's more to follow. He helps us in old age, but there's more to follow. And Spurgeon concluded by saying this, even when we arrive in the world to come, there'll be more to follow. All because of the grace of Jesus Christ. There's more to come. Grace is given not because I am good, but because I am his. There's a story of a young child that was in a building that was on fire. And I'll change gears on this story. But there was another story I have this morning. Is there was a young boy that was traveling with a group of people that collected rare flowers and those kind of things. And they offered the boy a sum of money if he would allow himself to be lowered over the cliff in order to pick this rare flower that they were looking for. And the young boy said, well, if you just wait a second, I'll do that. And so he disappeared for about an hour or so, and he came back with another man. And the boy quickly put the rope around his waist, and he was lowered down the edge of this cliff. And he picked the flower, and he brought back up. And the guys that were there, they said, young man, why wouldn't you let us lower you over the edge? He says, well, this is my father. And I knew if I went and got him, I'd trust him because I'm his child. And I know he will take care of me. And that's why I was willing to go over. See, that's a little idea of what grace is. Who are we holding on to? Who are we allowing ourselves to be let down by? We are the Lord's. He is ours, and we are his. And because of grace, there's more to follow. God has done an amazing work for us through Christ. And he's done it by his grace. Christ is our hero. And when I'm in heaven, it will be of him that I sing praises to. It will be of God's grace that I rejoice in. And there are all the cartoons and all the movie lines and all these things that picture people showing up in heaven and their works being evaluated whether they're allowed in. There is one entry to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. You're either in him or you're not. You have received his grace by faith or you haven't. And there's one way to live this day, the Christian life. It is by faith in God's grace. Joanna, Bethany, you're going to come this morning. And we'll have a closing song, an invitation this morning. As Joanna and Bethany make their way and play a song, let's bow our heads together this morning. Again, for the believer today, maybe this has encouraged you of all that Christ has done. For the unbeliever today, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus? He's given you His grace. Have you trusted Him by faith? For those with doubts and concerns and worries of failures or past failures, God has taken care of that by His grace through Christ. Not a little bit, but all. He's done it all. Take a moment there in your seat. Maybe you can say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Help me to live by your grace. Help me to rest in your grace and to recognize my standing in your grace. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ by faith through grace, call upon Him. Ask Him to be your Savior. Reach to that hand of grace and accept His finished work by faith. Thank you. May we live by God's grace. May we recognize all that God has done for us through Christ. We're moving on next week to another word. And all God's people said, amen. We'll move on to another word next week. Monty's going to put our verse of the week up. This verse is for our graduates in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. And let's stand to our feet and we'll read that together this morning. Before we are dismissed. After we read this and pray, we encourage you, if you're helping with Bible school, to come back here to the classroom, and we'll have a brief meeting about Vacation Bible School. All right, here we go. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the truth of your word. May we live in what you have done. Your grace is beyond comprehension. I still, Father, want to find myself trying to earn or deserve what you have given to me freely by Jesus Christ. Help us to live in these truths. Thank you for the word of God that has revealed these amazing things to us. Lord, we thank you for our graduates. Ask, Lord, that you would continue to empower them and strengthen them in all that they do. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways, and bring us back again at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.